Good evening. I hope that you have enjoyed this day because, as Denny said, it is an absolutely beautiful day. Tonight, we're going to be spending just a little bit of time talking about a few different scriptures, but if you want to turn to one that will kind of start in and land in, it'll be Hebrews chapter 12. But again, we'll be hitting kind of a few different passages, so you can be ready to flip around if you want. Have any of you ever ran a marathon? I know we have some marathon runners in our congregation, but I don't know if anyone here tonight. Have any of you ever thought about it? Me either. Because it's crazy to me to run 26 miles. It's actually 26.2, I think. It's an insane amount of miles to run just on your own 2 feet. I don't know if you've ever heard of an event called the Tough Mudder. But the Tough Mudder is almost like an extreme marathon. It's not quite as long. It's only about 12 miles. But the Tough Mudder is full of all of these crazy, crazy obstacles. Things like swimming through a dumpster full of ice and running through a field with live electrical wires coming down from the ceiling. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy, and I know people who have done it and people who plan to do it again. It takes a certain kind of, well, number one, craziness, but number two, endurance to do something like that. It takes endurance to be able to run a marathon. It takes endurance to be able to do an event like the Tough Mudder, running 12 miles through all kinds of these crazy obstacles. But you know what else takes a whole lot of endurance? Living this Christian life that we have committed ourselves to. In 2 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? All right, awesome. Pretend like that didn't happen. So, 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. It can be a hard thing to live this life to the end. It demands a lot of us, and there are a lot of challenges along the way. But if we can stick it out until the end, it's worth it. Just like for that marathon runner who gets to cross that finish line and feel the joy and excitement that comes from completing those 26 plus miles. And just like for the people who run events like the Tough Mudder, get to experience the excitement that comes from saying, I did it. This marathon of life that we are on as Christians is worth it in the end. And in Hebrews chapter 12, it says it like this. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, who is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. When I was in high school, I was a track runner. It was my favorite sport. And in track, there are two primary types of runners. There are the marathon, or the endurance runners, the long-distance runners, those people who could run 800 meters and 1,600 meters and 2 miles and who could do races like marathons. There are other people like me who could only do sprints. I was good for about 15 or 25 yards, and after that, people were going to start catching me. And in faith, we have that same kind of distinction. Some of us are incredibly good sprinters. We can get really excited, and we can get really fired up and really passionate, and we can get our life all geared around faith. for a few minutes. Maybe it lasts for a few weeks. Maybe it lasts for a month or two. But then life gets in the way, and we get off track. I know growing up, and even now, camp experiences are a lot like this. Where you go to something like camp, or you go to a youth rally, or a youth event, or we have a gospel meeting, and we get fired up, and we get excited, and the juices are flowing, and things are going great, and we recommit ourselves to this life. Only to run into the first obstacle. We begin to fall back into that same type of disfocus and that same type of distraction. But see, this life, this faith, is all about endurance. There are a few people who know about endurance more than most people. Their names are Charlie Engel, Ray Zahab, and Kevin Lynn. These people, for 111 days, ran the equivalent of 2 marathons a day to run across the entire Sahara Desert. For 111 days, 2 marathons a day, they started at the Atlantic Ocean in a place called Senegal. I don't know my geography very well. And they ended up at the Red Sea. For 111 days, they faced blazing heat in the afternoon and freezing cold nights at night. They had sandstorms and tendonitis, and they had sicknesses, and they had the usual aches and pains that come from running a marathon, or running 2 marathons a day. This is crazy kind of endurance. And it's an incredible accomplishment. But you know what else is an incredible accomplishment? When as Christians we can finish our lives strong. When until the end we serve and we love and we give and we work as well as we possibly can. You know what else is an incredible accomplishment? When husbands and wives can stay faithful to each other until death do us part. Or when young people can keep themselves pure in a culture that is sex-crazed. Or when churches can get through rough patches and stay joyful and stay energetic and stay passionate. And what Hebrews 12 teaches us about this endurance race is that we accomplish all of this, not necessarily by our own strength. We accomplish it through the discipline that God gives us in our life. See, these crazy people who do things like the Tough Mudder and who try to run across the Sahara Desert in 111 days don't do it by waking up in the morning and deciding that they're going to go. They do it by training, and they do it by disciplining themselves. And that discipline is not always enjoyable, and it's not always a great experience, but the discipline is what helps them to run with endurance the race that's marked before us. And in the same way, God offers us discipline. He also offers us discipline in a few different ways. One of them is through the Word, and He uses the Word for correction and instruction in our lives. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. See, God uses Scripture to correct us, and He uses Scripture to teach us. And we know this, right? That's why we spend so much time as a church studying the Bible and dwelling in Scripture and reading the Bible together. And it's why it's so important for us in our own private lives to be reading the Bible and dwelling in Scripture and meditating on what God has said. But there are those moments where the Scriptures reveal something to us that we don't necessarily like, where they point out a place in our lives where we are sinning, where we are wrong. And that correction can be an unpleasant experience when we realize we have been doing something that is contrary to what God has intended for us. And the challenge in that moment, whether we've been in church for 5 minutes or whether we have been in church our entire lives, is will we be faithful enough to obey, even in those moments where we know we've been doing something wrong? See, God uses the Word to correct us, and He uses the Word to instruct us in the way that we live. And so Scripture becomes incredibly important for us. God also uses the knife for pruning and fruitlessness. In John chapter 15, Jesus is speaking and he says, "I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit." The truth is, there are times in our lives when things just kind of get in the way, when things stop our growth in faith and stop our obedience to Jesus. I don't know if any of you are gardeners. I am not a gardener, but my wife is pretty good. And there comes a time when you're gardening, whether you're growing roses or you're growing an apple tree, when you have to cut off some dead branches. We have to cut off some things that just aren't bearing fruit anymore so that something new can grow. And that's the exact analogy that Jesus uses in our Christian life. That there comes a time when God has to cut some things out of our life because they're not producing life anymore, because they're not producing fruit, because they're not growing anymore. And that's a painful process to go through, isn't it? When we have to give up something that's meaningful to us. We have to let go of some things in our lives that we would rather hold to tightly. But this is the way that God helps us to grow. This is the way that God disciplines us to stay on the path he set for us. And so we should consider tonight, is there something in your life, is there something in my life that we need to let go of? That's just not producing fruit anymore. That's not helping us to grow. That's not helping our families to grow. That's not helping our community to experience the grace and the love of Jesus. Is there something that's holding you back that you need to let go of tonight? The next way that God disciplines us is the thorn. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to kind of hold your place in Hebrews 12 and flip a few pages over, Paul writes this about the thorn that God uses for prevention and he uses for power. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations," Paul says, "a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" See, these thorns in the flesh teach us dependence on God. There are times in life, as we talked about in the Bible class this morning, when our faith is going to be tested, when we are pushed, and we are pushed beyond what we feel like we can bear. But that's exactly how we can grow. I don't know if you know how training in athletics works, why people do things like lift weights. But when an athlete lifts weights, they are intentionally pushing themselves beyond what they think they can do. And when that happens, it sometimes causes a lot of pain. Like if you see any of our high school students who just get back into weightlifting, and you give them a slap on the back a couple days after they've been in the weight room, they're going to cringe because they're so sore. Because what's happened is that when they were lifting those weights, their muscles were actually torn apart. They were tearing some of the muscle fibers so that those muscle fibers can grow back stronger the next time. And when our faith is tested, when we are pushed beyond our limits, God is doing that. He's allowing that to happen so that our faith can grow stronger and stronger. And he does it by teaching us to depend on his power and not on our own power. And then from Hebrews chapter 12, God uses the rod for chastisement and punishment. It says in Hebrews 12, starting in verse 5, says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, don't regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom the father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. To the discipline of the Lord will feel unpleasant when we're experiencing. Just like when the athlete is training, that training seems unpleasant. But it is for a greater purpose. And if we can pull ourselves back from those moments of pain and those moments of hardship, and we can see the bigger picture of what God is trying to accomplish in our lives and what God is calling us to and the race that God has set for us, it will allow us to run faithfully this race that God has marked for us. I love what it says in verse 12. It says, therefore, lift your drooping heads and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. There are times in this race of endurance that we feel busted up. When we twist our ankles in a little pothole, when we stumble and we fall and we need to get picked back up. And that's what the discipline of the Lord is all about. And so tonight, I simply want to encourage us to endure. I want to encourage us to fix our eyes on Jesus no matter what happens in our life. Whether things are going great or whether we are experiencing the pain that comes from knowing the discipline of the Lord. Whether we've got some pruning going on in our lives where we have to let some things go, or whether Scripture is challenging us to obey in an area of life we haven't been given over, an area of life we haven't given over to God. Going through difficult things can be difficult. I want to encourage us, whatever it is we're going through, to endure. To endure because Jesus has paid the price. Jesus has won the race. Jesus has been the author and the perfecter of our faith. And if we can fix our eyes on Jesus, then it puts everything else in life in perspective. Tonight, as we do every time we gather together, we offer an invitation. And if you're here tonight and you've never put your faith in Jesus, I want to encourage you to do that tonight, to make the simple decision to confess Jesus as your Lord and to turn from your sins, to be buried in baptism and then raised out of that water to live a new life following Christ. Or tonight, if you're here and you're struggling with something, if you feel that discipline of the Lord, like your faith is being put to the test, and you want to ask for prayers for strength, you want to ask for encouragement, we're here to do that for you. So tonight, if you need to respond to God's call in your life, would you come as we all stand and worship?